Said greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this third Sunday of Advent will be taken from the joy candle. We're going to speak, Lord willing, about joy. And I'm going to read for a sermon text from the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to go from chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 17 through 20. If you'd be willing and able to rise for the reading of a gospel text. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 17, continuing in Jesus' name. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We ask by the power of your Spirit that you would speak, that we would be encouraged, and that, Father, you would also allow your word and your gifts to be glorified. Sanctify us in the truth because we know this word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I've never done this before. I don't usually go in a series, not that it matters if I do or don't, but I felt led to go through the candles. We went through hope, and after going through hope, we go through peace. And now the pink one is joy, and then the last one will be, of the colored, will be love. And we really come to this understanding, when we have a hope, and we have this hope in Jesus Christ, we can come to a peace. And having peace, we really can have joy. Too many times we allow our joy to be predicated upon what we see in this world, what we could see in the tangible area of life. But the fact of it is, our joy is founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ, in the understanding of He has done all for us and in our behalf, that no matter what may be taking place in our world, we can have peace on it. I brought that out last year, last year's Christmas service, and it keeps ringing through my mind, and me and Raz have had conversations about this before, and just really makes me think. Last year, God led me to say a statement that too many times we look for, we talk about the Christmas season, peace on earth, and then we'll say, but there is none. We see turmoil, we see struggle, we see difficulty, we see all of this going on. The scripture never says we're going to have peace with earth. It says we can have peace on earth. See, this world in reality is in its fallen state, and there's going to be difficulty. We're not going to always find peace with it, but we can have peace on it in and through Jesus Christ, that no matter what may be going on around us, that we could have this consolation. And this is actually the joy that's being spoken about. Mark did a great job of bringing that in. It's not just a giddy feeling. It really is about being comforted. About having a consolation that no matter what may be going on, whether I am facing cancer, whether I am facing bankruptcy, whether I am facing persecution, whatever it may be, that my joy is still full in the fact of I am a redeemed individual. I'm a redeemed individual. I've been bought back by the love of God through the blood of Christ, that I can have this encouragement, that actually I can get up tomorrow and face the day. Unfortunately for a lot of us, or at least Jesse, I have a tendency to get up and face my day by looking on Facebook. You grab your phone, you get your cup of coffee, you sit down in a chair, and you turn on Facebook, and you, whether or not I should speak about myself, because putting words in your mouth isn't sanitary. I have a tendency to look at this, and then I have a tendency to allow Facebook to tell me what's happening in the world, what's going to affect me in the world, and what really, my position is in this world. And that can be quite negative. Jesus, He wants us to look beyond what the earthly says. He even wants us to look beyond even these earthly miracles that we're going to see in our text. It's not about what takes place here physically. There are a lot of great things There's a lot of things we celebrate, but there are also a lot of travesties. There's a lot of difficulties. There's a lot of struggles. So if we are to now basically feel confirmation from the external things, we'll feel good one day and bad the next. Honestly, I can feel good one moment and bad the next. We are not on the roller coaster of salvation. We're not on the roller coaster of His grace. We're not in and out, in and out. We're in His will and in His hands when we follow His Word. When we're involved in His Word. And when the power of His Spirit works in our lives, we are at peace. We're at peace in this world. Not so much with it. So he turns around and we talk about this aspect of joy. And this is a very interesting text. Verse 17, it comes up to this after the 70, sending the 72 out. And it says, the 70 returned and with great joy they started telling the Lord, man, even the devils themselves, they were subject to us through your name. They were fired up. Have you ever had moments like that in your life? That when you go out, maybe you meet with somebody, maybe you evangelize to them, you feel so like the Lord has just blessed you and you're doing so well and you just feel encouraged and you feel like now you're going to preach to the whole world. And it's a great feeling. There's nothing wrong with that. To be excited. To turn around and maybe go to Fifth and Elm and have a cup of coffee and you never expected to have this conversation, but someone comes and sits next to you. And then you start talking maybe a little bit about the Christmas season. And then you guys start to engage about basically what Christ has done for you and for them, and your spirits just testify together. That's a great feeling. And then we go out in the parking lot and someone basically makes a comment to you that just drags you down to the fact of you're one of those. And I have much higher ways than you. I don't know how they would do it, but we've all had those moments where we felt we're on the pinnacle, and then all of a sudden someone can bring us crashing down. But that's not where we are found. And that's what Jesus is really trying to say. They're all fired up because things went well. They're all fired up because they've seen the power of the kingdom of God. And that's awesome. But not to keep our hope only in the external things. Jesus doesn't discredit this. See, that's where oftentimes I think we can also err is when we say, well, see, this isn't important. That's not what he's saying. See, they came back. And they were rejoicing. They had this great joy about all these big events that took place here upon this earth. And he said unto them, I've seen it. When you were out there and you were proclaiming, he said, I saw it. Christ says very plainly, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He says, and I'm telling you, you're equipped. By the power of Jesus Christ, he says, you're equipped, he says, to tread on serpents and to tread on scorpions. He says, and actually over the power of the enemy. And he says, and really, when you're about my business, when you're doing what you're called to do, nothing will stop you. See, I think that's kind of cool. There's another part of Scripture that really talks about asking anything in my name. Ask anything in my name, and the Father will give it to you. Or it says in another place, ask anything in my name and I will give it to you, Christ actually says also. But the fact of it is, it turns around and he's bringing it out in that fashion. And humans, when we only think earthly, sometimes we have a tendency to say, well, good, he's my sugar daddy. If I can name it and claim it, I'll get it. But the fact of it is, what he's saying in context in both of these situations is, when you are doing what you're called to do, whatever you have need of, I'll take care of it. That's an assurance. That He will consistently provide to us in fulfilling His will. His mission. Jesse has to be honest sometimes and he has to ask himself, well, am I always considering what God's will is? What His mission is? Or am I more or less at times considering what I see to be correct and what I would like and what I would want. Jesse, it's not about you. It's not about me. I hope you could echo the same words. That when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to proclaiming His righteousness, when it comes to bringing in reality this word to the world, it's not about me. It's about Him. And we are, unless Scripture is wrong, just worthless servants. I often have to be caught there. God has revealed to me on more and more occasions that I need to be caught there. Because these external things, well, ultimately fail us in the end. Because this world will be consumed. If our hope is only found in what we can perform externally, it's going to be a depressing day. And Jesse has to come to that realization. But you turn around and you see what he says here. He's saying it's not that it's not important. That's the hand of God. Give honor and glory to Him in those things. He says, but this. He says, this is what I want you to understand. Notwithstanding, in this is where you'll find your rejoicing. Not that the spirits, not that the external things are actually going to be subject unto you. That's child's play for God. It is. He says, but rather, rejoice. Have this confidence. Have this just love and just overpowering of joy in this. Because your names are written in heaven. That, to me, is amazing. We might take that as, well, why is that so amazing? Because the devil and the adversary and all his little tricks and stopping that is child's play for God. It's like a flick. But for us to have our names written in heaven took him laying his life down for us. That is something to be thankful for. That is something to be joyous over. That God so looked at us and loved us so much that He came in reality, Emmanuel, and He dwelt among us and He showed us His perfect love all the way through the submission, even to the cross and to the death for our benefit. For us, this is something to really be joyful over. We turn around sometimes and we have a tendency to see little things about our lives and say, those are really the exciting things. But then all of a sudden God will bring that, even in a secular way, He'll bring it to the full understanding of, you know, all these other things that you see, they're great. But in a secular way, look at your family. Look at your core. Look what God has truly blessed you with. You may be thrilled because some of your children are doing certain things, and that's wonderful. And don't think it's not. It's all important. But in a secular way, bringing it to a comparison, are you thankful for the child? Are you thankful for the child? He says, yeah, that's awesome that you guys have this ability. I saw Satan fallen. I saw it all taking place because God has allowed that His power would work in and through you. He said, but don't be excited over that because that's God at work. Be excited that God desired you so much that He gave of Himself that you could be partakers. See, it's not the act. It's more that God desired you to have that. He came to give. He came to give joy. He says it very plainly. The Gospel of John chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 9 through 12. As the Father had loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. He says, I'm telling you these things. I have spoken these things to you. I'm saying it in a few ways so you'll get what I'm saying. He says, I've spoken these things to you, that my joy, it's his joy, my joy might remain in you. And that by my joy remaining in you, that your joy may be full. He's speaking here about a work outside of ourselves. Yeah, these guys had the ability to go and cast and do all kinds of things. And you know what? Yeah, God gave them that ability. But don't look at the signs of doing them. Look at the God desired to give them. He turns around and he says, and this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Isn't that kind of an amazing thing? We turn around and we talk about the fact of what are the greatest commandments, and even they did that in the scripture, there's no doubt about it. You know, to love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to love thy God, love thy neighbor as thyself. That is the great commandment we always speak about. There's no doubt about it, and it is biblical. But Jesus turns around and he says very plainly, this is my commandment. This is what I'm commanding of you. This is what I want you to do. That you love one another as I've loved you. How did Christ love us? How did Christ love us? Unconditionally. Unselfishly. He gave of himself in our behalf. Before we stood up and said, I want Jesus, he said, I want them. While everybody was saying, if you're so great, and they wagged their heads at him, come on down. He said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. He loved us beyond our sin. He loved us beyond our earthliness. He loved us beyond our own understandings and our own ways. He gave of himself because of his love. And he says, and I came here, and I came here upon this earth to share that with you, that in reality you may receive of my joy. It says in the scripture, he died for the joy that was set before him, and we understand that as being us. We are that joy. When we stop playing games and we love each other, in spite of who I am, we are revealing his joy. It's very amazing. He says, this is why. So we turn around and we say, well, he showed us. He came to give us his love. And so then we want to turn and we want to ask the question, well, how do we receive it? How do we receive this love then? If Christ came and he wants us to have joy, he wants us to have his love, how do we receive that? Jesus says very plainly in the next chapter of John, chapter 16, verse 24, hitherto, until now. He says, you know what, guys? Until now, you've never asked anything in my name. Until this point, you've never done that. So now he gives a recommendation. Now that you've encountered me, now that you know me, and I believe, in all honesty, I'm speaking to a Christian body, ask. He says very plainly, until this point, you've never asked anything in my name. He says, but ask, and you will receive. That what? He uses the same word. That your joy would be full. That you would have this joy. Father, I deal with difficulty. There's no way around it. I'm speaking here so you can listen to me in my prayer room, right? I deal with difficulty. You know, and my son, I'll pick on my son, is a real piece of work. And he irritates me. How can I deal with this? Help me. Help me deal with this. Be transparent. And the Father, through His Holy Spirit, gives you a love for that son, for that uncle, cousin, Willie, whatever it may be, that outsider, so that when you go to that one, you can have that joy. Because it's not about me. It's about what is best for the body. That your joy might be full. So it's interesting. He says he came to give this joy. He came to fulfill this joy within us. And he says, you haven't received because you haven't asked. So ask and you will receive it. And then you come down to the fact of, what now? How do I operate in this world? By grace through faith. We are partakers of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are not left as wandering generalities, Jesse often takes his eyes off himself, off of Christ, and looks at himself and wants to fix things. But the fact of it is, Jesus says, listen, I came to give you joy. I came to give you this peace. And now all you have to do is ask for it. And when you ask for it, I will give you joy beyond measure. But it doesn't still happen by yourself. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against these things, there is no commandment. There is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified their own way. I said that. It says flesh. They have crucified the flesh and all the affections and its lusts. It's not about me. This Christmas season, we always speak that, isn't it? The truth in Christmas season, it's always better to give than to receive. It really comes down to, it's not about me. It's about the joy that God pours into the hearts of the believer. It's about the joy that when we ask, He pours out through the power of His Holy Spirit, that we can be encouraged to have in reality this love, this joy, this peace. Long-suffering is a big word. It means patience. Have patience with one another. A gentleness. Desiring good for others in a goodness and faith. He says, in a meekness, not pushing yourself above others. In a temperance, trying to step back, even when there's a time you want to say something. He says, actually, against these things, there is no law. God is so good to us. Even the scripture says, in times of our ignorance, He winks at and calls all men everywhere to repent. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this season is, in all honesty, about hope, peace, joy, and love. And it all centers around Christ Jesus Himself. We cannot do it aside from Him. May we have this heart. May we have this time within this Christmas season to really stop and think about all those things. That we would have the hope of Jesus Christ. By having that hope, we would have the peace of Christ. And in having that peace of Christ, we can have the joy, which next week, Lord willing, will bring us to the point of loving one another. So that we can see Him. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.